I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Perhaps the most important part of any movie is the ending. After all, last impressions count for a lot, and an ending that doesn't stick the landing can risk leaving audiences with a sour taste in their mouths. Great endings can be many things: shocking, hilarious, upsetting, uplifting, or just downright weird. And the latter is certainly true of these movies, which included some truly peculiar references hidden in plain sight. So let's take a look at them. As I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are 9 movie endings that oddly reference other things. Number 9, Lorenzo's Oil, Paul. Now, the villain of cult fave sci-fi comedy Paul appears to be Secret Service agent Zoil, who's played by Jason Bateman, and at the end of the movie reveals that he's actually been working with the titular alien all along. Better still, he tells Graham and Clive to call him by his first name, which is Lorenzo, and after a beat, the pair realize that his name is Lorenzo Zoil, a punny nod to the Oscar-nominated 1992 drama Lorenzo's Oil, starring Nick Nolte and Susan Sarandon. Now, considering the absurdly limited overlap between those inclined to watch Paul and those that are even aware of Lorenzo's Oil, it's an incredibly off-key reference, doubtless lost on a solid 90% of people watching this. Given that there's no clear link between the two movies either, it seems all the more bafflingly random that it was Nick Frost's idea, naming the character Zoil throughout the film for the sake of a head-scratching 10-second payoff at the end. Number 8, Scooby-Doo, Wayne's World. Though both Wayne's World movies freely break the fourth wall as the duo speak directly to the audience, the film's first ending took this to hilariously daft extremes by having Wayne and Garth literally redo the ending twice. Unsatisfied with the original ending where Wayne's girlfriend Cassandra leaves him for slick TV producer Benjamin and Garth dies in a fire, they opt for a Scooby-Doo ending instead. In this ending, it's revealed that Benjamin was actually Old Man Withers, the elderly owner of the haunted amusement park introduced at the start of the film. We're never told what crime that he's actually guilty of, but he's held in police custody as he quips in customary Scooby-Doo fashion, and I would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you snooping kids. Even for the film's meta-happy style, it comes completely out of left field. And Wayne and Garth aren't content to stop there though, as they then get the follow-up canon mega-happy ending where Cassandra gets her record deal and stays with Wayne, and Benjamin learns to be a better person. Number 7, Natural Born Killers, Kill Bill Volume 2. The lengthy final confrontation between the bride, aka Beatrix Kiddo, and Bill in Kill Bill Volume 2 sees Bill go off on a lengthy monologue about superheroes, noting that the bride's special set of skills ultimately makes her unable to blend into society as a normal person. And when she asks, "Are you calling me a superhero?" he replies, "I'm calling you a killer, a natural born killer." Now, this is clearly a nod to Oliver Stone's cult classic thriller Natural Born Killers, which Tarantino wrote the screenplay for. And while it's hardly out of character for Tarantino to include a reference to one of his prior works in a new movie, it is strange in the case of Natural Born Killers, given that he famously loathed how unfaithful Stone's end product was to his original screenplay. Tarantino has even flat out said that he hated the movie and hasn't ever seen it all the way through, so why he'd want to reference a bad filmmaking experience is anyone's guess. A glutton for punishment, maybe? Number 6, Game of Thrones in Hobbs and Shaw. Given that blockbuster movies can spend upwards of a year in post-production completing visual effects, sound mixing, and so on, it's extremely uncommon for them to make incredibly current, of-the-moment pop culture references. But Hobbs and Shaw decided to go that extra mile in order to give fans a shockingly up-to-date final gag. In the film's mid-credits scene, Hobbs receives a phone call from CIA agent Victor Locke, where Locke starts to waffle to Hobbs about Game of Thrones' series finale. He says, "My problem is that Jon Snow had sex with his aunt and then killed her, and nobody wants to talk about it. That's what my problem is." Given that Game of Thrones aired its final episode just 2.5 months before Hobbs and Shaw's release, this was most likely filmed shortly after the finale aired and quickly stuffed into the credits during the latter stages of post-production. Beyond the fact that spoiling such a recent episode of a major TV show rubbed some viewers the wrong way, it's incredibly unexpected to see such a major pop culture event referenced like this in a $200 million movie that completed principal photography the year prior. Mad, right? Number 5. Dead Poets Society – Hook. So Steven Spielberg's Hook ends with Peter Banning, aka Peter Pan, being reunited with his family and deciding to spend more time with them. At this moment, aged lost boy Tootles sprinkles himself with pixie dust and then flies away while shouting, "Seize the day!" as Peter and his family look on ecstatically. Now Tootles' quip might seem pretty innocuous at first, until you remember that the smash hit drama Dead Poets Society was released just 2 years prior, where Robin Williams' unorthodox English teacher John Keating famously quipped this very same phrase. Ultimately a cute nod to Williams' prior role, it's still a bizarre reference to make it into a Disney movie obviously aimed at children, the overwhelming majority of whom will have never even heard of Dead Poets Society, a drama about poetry, education, and suicide. Number 4. Pulp Fiction in Captain America: The Winter Soldier. The Marvel Cinematic Universe sure loves its Easter eggs and references, though generally these nods relate to either the existing continuity or more niche aspects of comic book lore. Well, Captain America the Winter Soldier went in a slightly different direction with a reference that shows up fleetingly in the final minutes of the movie. Nick Fury meets Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson at his fake grave, where an epitaph can be briefly spotted which reads, "The Path of the Righteous Man, Ezekiel 25:17. Now, you don't even need to have seen Pulp Fiction to know the scene from the movie that this is referring to, so ingrained it is in our general cultural consciousness. And while the epitaph is of course related to Jackson's role as Jules Winfield in Tarantino's masterful crime film where he spoke the very same fictional biblical passage aloud, it's still jarring to see such an unapologetically adult movie reference in an MCU film of all things. Unsurprisingly, it didn't take long for the convoluted fan theories about Fury and Winfield being the same person to start doing the rounds online. Number 3. Star Wars in Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. Now, Michael Bay's second Transformers film, Revenge of the Fallen, concludes with a dead Optimus Prime being brought back to life with some help from Jetfire, who allows his parts to be grafted onto Optimus. But if you look closely as Jolt and Ratchet fuse Jetfire's remains to Optimus, you might notice a familiar figure amid the metal debris. Flying across the screen is none other than Star Wars' beloved droid R2-D2. The airborne robot was confirmed to be R2 by the film's visual effects supervisor Scott Farrar. But beyond the fact that Transformers sequel's VFX was handled by George Lucas's own outfit Industrial Light and Magic, it does feel like a pretty random tip of the hat. I mean, sure, they're both sci-fi franchises, but neither the tone nor the aesthetic of Transformers lines up with Star Wars, like, at all. It may just be a fun little Easter egg at the end of the day, but its placement still feels pretty damn strange within Bay's blockbuster made primarily for teenage boys, who in 2009 probably thought that Star Wars was a bit lame anyway. Number 2. Lost – The Wedding Ringer. 2015 buddy rom-com The Wedding Ringer came and went without much of a peep, centered around a friendless groom who hires a wedding ringer to acquire him a best man and groomsman for the occasion. And Lost star Jorge Garcia makes a supporting appearance in the movie as Lurch, one of the groomsmen, and at the very end of the film is on board a flight to Tahiti with the rest of the wedding party. Hilariously and totally out of nowhere, Lurch pipes up and says, "I've got a bad feeling about this flight," before we abruptly cut to the credits. Now clearly this is supposed to be a nod to Garcia's role on Lost, a show focused around a plane crash, but if you've never seen Lost, it would seem totally and utterly nonsensical, seeming to imply that something genuinely might be wrong with the plane. Considering that the rest of the movie doesn't feature any apparent Lost gags, nor is the subject matter adjacent to Lost in any way, it comes wildly out of left field. But it also might be the funniest joke in the entire movie for those in the know. And number 1, Superman Returns in Fred Claus. The villain in 2007's Christmas comedy Fred Claus is Clyde Archibald Northcutt, played by Kevin Spacey, an efficiency expert sent to the North Pole to streamline Santa's operations there. At the end of the movie, Clyde is confronted by Santa, who deduces that Clyde is a bad person because he never got the Christmas present that he always wanted as a child, a Superman cape. In his youth, Clyde was bullied for wearing glasses and hoped that the Superman cape would empower him, at which point Santa gives the present-day Clyde a Christmas gift. And you guessed it, it's the Superman cape, which with some encouragement Clyde wears, even removing his glasses to complete the Superman look. And given that Fred Claus was released the year after Superman Returns, where Spacey played the supervillain Lex Luthor, the scene was clearly a play on that. Except it's a bit strange for two reasons. Firstly, Spacey didn't play Superman, so is the gag basically implying deep down that Lex Luthor, the man who stabbed Superman almost to death in the movie, wishes that he was the Man of Steel? And secondly, the Venn diagram overlap of people watching Fred Claus who would even get the joke, let alone have actually seen Superman Returns, is going to be pretty damn small. But still, it's there in the film.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.